It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. And the Democrats now have moved from quid pro quo, which Americans don't speak Latin, except...
Imagine that.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't understand what quid pro quo meant, most of us. And
most of them can't say it, let alone...
Exactly. So they moved to bribery. Now, Mark Levin made a great point the other night. I was watching him, and he's absolutely right. During the Revolution, when this was all... Or after the Revolution, after all this was... our Constitution, everything was written, with the exception of the Declaration of Independence. There were people during the Revolutionary War, very high up, who were being bribed by the British to come over to their side, and they did. And so they were very concerned when it came to impeachment that someone would be a traitor and they would go to the other side and be bribed. It's not about the president bribing Ukraine. It would be about the Ukrainians bribing the president. It's ridiculous. Well, of course it would. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. They've got this one wrong, too.
Chuck, they've got it wrong because they have no ethics and they have no qualms about lying.
Well, that's true.
I mean, but what they have right is the Democrats did polling data across America, and they found that the term bribery had the best, most visceral response from voters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason they use the word bribery. The charge makes no sense, but none of this makes any sense. Think about, they're saying that the president was witness tampering with Yovanovitch, who's not a witness.
How can you tamper with a witness who's not a witness to anything?
Right. She didn't witness anything. And these people completely miss the idea that they all serve at the pleasure of the president.
You know, this is a big deal, Mark. You point that out, and that's absolutely true, is that the State Department is a vast department of our government. And ever since FDR, it's been filled. And I've said this for years and years, and had arguments with people, that FDR filled it with Marxists in order to appease Stalin during the Second World War. Well, those Marxist socialists have continued to infiltrate and be a part of our State Department. It's just, you know, out of hand almost. And they really believe that since they've been there 25, 30 years, that they run everything to do with foreign whatever governments and all that kind of stuff. They don't run anything. The president runs it, and they either like his policies or they don't. And obviously there are a bunch of them in there now that don't like his policies. And that's really the people you're hearing from the State Department in these hearings. So they got one of two choices. If you don't agree with the president, and he is your president, and he runs your department, he's over your department because it's part of the executive branch, then you either resign or protest and get out, or you stay there and do and work his policies, because he's the one that sets the policies on foreign stuff. it's as plain as I can put it.
But what is socialism? Socialism is a country run by bureaucrats.
Right. So, and listen, we have to fool ourselves not to believe that we don't have a bunch of socialists within our government. And now we got a bunch of socialists that are outside of our government trying to make it even more socialist, more like England, more like Germany, more like Europe. This has been going on for a long, long, long time. And it's very interesting to me that because of these hearings, because of Trump being president, all of this stuff is bubbling to the surface and we're able to see it. When you go back to Joe the Plumber saying something and Obama says, well, I'm not a socialist. This sounds very socialist. And admonished him for that. Now you have people running as socialists for the Democrat Party. You don't find socialists in the Republican Party. You really don't.
No, but you do have, but Obama himself has warned the party that regardless of how far to the left they want to move their agenda, they must stay in reality.
Yes.
Here's what I'm saying about Obama. I'm not giving him credit for being conservative. Mm-hmm. He is too conservative for this bunch of candidates.
He's not. I disagree with you 100%.
He was as a president, as what he said.
Well, but what he says and what he does are two different things. It's just like anybody that's running for office. They can't stand the fact that what Trump has said, he's followed through with and said he's going to do the implement all of these policies that he talked about that he ran on. Well, nobody does that.
Well, so you brought up a term. You were saying about these are bureaucrats, right?
Right.
And we've discussed on this show before, what's the opposite of a bureaucrat? An entrepreneur, both French words.
Right.
You have an entrepreneur at the helm of a bunch of bureaucrats.
Yeah.
They are diametrically opposed philosophically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, Trump was hired to do this. And by cleaning out the deep state, the first thing you have to do is expose it and show you what it is. Then you can start cleaning it out. You can't just clean it out like, for instance, Barack Obama did when he came into office. He just sent out a notice saying, okay, all diplomats are now not diplomats anymore. I'm replacing everybody. And he replaced a whole ton of people without, you know, any excuse. But no one said anything about that.
It's okay when a Democrat does it.
Well, we're really living in a world that's just upside down, which I find irritating because whatever's right is wrong. Whatever's wrong is right. The sky is not blue. It's something. It's incredible what the media and the Democrats are putting our people through, the American people. We are not served well by the people in power in the House. That's
and
for sure.
And the media today is nothing more than the public relations arm of the Democratic Party.
Well, Washington is a Democrat town. I've always said that. And
now check this out, Chuck. Nancy Pelosi. This is what Nancy says. Let me give you the quote here. The weak response to these hearings has been, let the election decide. That's dangerous position. Only adds to the urgency of our action because POTUS is jeopardizing integrity of the 2020 election. And we can't allow the American people to make this decision.
Oh, absolutely not. How can you possibly trust the American people? It's our government, not hers.
It would be.
I mean, it's like this woman who directed Charlie's Angels, the last Charlie's Angels. She blamed men because it failed. It's ridiculous.
It would be weak and dangerous to back off and let the American people decide this election in 2020.
Can you imagine
what Pelosi said?
I mean, seriously, would she have ever said that without Trump? No. He has stirred up a hornet's nest, and the hornets are out. And you better recognize them for what they are, because they're not good. They will sting you.
But these people, I mean, they're completely out of their minds.
Listen, I had a fair segment on Love Connection than the hearings do. At least I heard from both sides.
Well, good point. You know, by the way, back to your Charlie's Angels thing. Okay, the movie did $7 million. It's crashed and burned at the box office.
Yeah.
The woman who directed the film was demanding that men go out and pre-purchase tickets for it. And demanding
why would she do that?
And demanding that the movie make money. She was demanding that the movie makes money and said, if this movie doesn't make money, this is proof that men are sexist and won't go to the movies to see women in these powerful heroic roles.
I mean, we're looking at everything now. A woman holds up her hand, and you can see it. The audience can't see it, but they hold up her hand, and some lightning bolt comes out of it and stops men in their tracks. I mean, it's incredible how every hero now today is a woman, not a man. They just switch places, and we're supposed to accept that, along with accepting everything else that's upside down.
Right, and in the case of Charlie's Angels, they're not super power people. We're not suspending reality in a superhero universe. They're supposed to be three normal women who are working as agents who can beat up six 200-pound guys alone.
Who do kung fu.
So, and see, let me give you an example. Okay, so as you know, I have a background in martial arts. I've got three black belts. I used to teach martial arts. I've taught many women martial arts. And what did we teach women in martial arts? We taught them that if they needed to defend themselves, strike hard, strike fast, strike in deadly areas, and run like hell. Because you can't sit there and go toe-to-toe. Even with your martial arts training, you can't sit there and a 120-pound woman doesn't go toe-to-toe with a 200-pound man.
Look, women have their attributes like men have their attributes, but they're trying to strip all masculinity away from men, from boys, natural behavior, and they're giving them all kinds of pills and calling them, they've got some kind of disease, ADD or ADHD or something. And it's just amazing what they've done to our culture. It's sad to me. And I don't know who's to blame for it, but I think it's the left, I would guess.
So Chuck, I wanted to run this by you, you know, being a, not only a dreaded conservative.
Yeah. Yes.
But also a dreaded Christian. It's like, I think conservative and Christian are now becoming the C words. Pope Francis is now going to rewrite the Beatitudes.
Yeah, you're going to be, it's going to be a sin to be a polluter, I guess, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's adding to the Beatitudes that blessed are those who protect and care for our common home. Mm-hmm. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Jesus write the Beatitudes? Isn't that the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave? Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you need to call Jesus if you were going to rewrite his work?
Look, I can comment on it how I feel about it personally, and so can you. Neither one of us are Catholics. So the Catholics, you know, they have their own way of doing things, and they can stand up or sit down to this. It's their, I feel like it's their problem, not mine in a way.
But now you are sinning. Now, again, help me out here. I believe there's a passage that said God gave man dominion over the earth.
Yes.
Okay. So now all of a sudden man is supposed to worship the earth? I thought we were supposed to worship God.
Well, you worship the sun, you worship the moon, you can worship anything, but don't worship God who created everything. I mean, it's just, it's so sad to see what's happening in this world.
Now, by
the way, I've been watching The Crown. This final season, which is a little, this last season, I don't know if it's the final season or not, is a little depressing. But it's interesting how the Brits begin to turn and look and different after the Second World War and become more and more socialist. And how the Queen responds to it. It's very, very interesting.
I'm going to jump to that for a second. I want to give you one last thought here. The Pope, by the way, travels around in a private jet with a private Pope mobile.
This doesn't matter. You know, it's...
And has a fleet of 12 Ferraris.
It's the... What? The Pope has a fleet of 12 Ferraris?
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Who drives the Ferraris? I may become a Catholic. Wait a minute. Now, are you serious?
I'm serious.
The Pope has 12 Ferraris.
Yeah, only 12.
Well, does Enzo like give them? Well, he's dead now, but I mean, does Ferrari give them to the doom? And
yes, they every time they come up with a new model, they give the Pope one.
Really?
Yeah, it's good to be the Pope.
Well,
you thought it was good to be Chuck Woolery.
I had no idea. The Pope's better.
I know. It's better to be the Pope than it is to be Chuck Woolery. Oh, you get free barbecue. He gets Ferraris.
Well, whatever. I got my Mercedes, so I'm happy.
So speaking of the royal family, Prince Andrew did a TV interview with the BBC in which he said, yes, I am. My problem with being a friend of a sex trafficking Jeffrey Epstein is just because I'm too honorable. I'm too honorable of a man.
Here's the thing about him. This is very interesting. They said, well, why did you go to New York and stay in his house? And he said, well, it was convenient, number one, more convenient than staying anywhere else. And the purpose for his visit, he said, on this interview, was to break up with Epstein. That was to say, I can't do this anymore. You're bad news, and we're finished. But he stayed there for 4 days. Does it take you 4 days to tell somebody you're done with them?
It's a slow breakup. You have to be, you know, you don't want to just go in there and hurt people's feelings, Chuck.
Well, there you go.
And he did say that
Epstein gave him enormous opportunities of
absolutely.
Learning.
Oh, absolutely. I saw that, yeah.
Much learning opportunities with him, and I couldn't have been in that photo with that teenager because I was at Pizza Express.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is all so ridiculous, but, you know, what can you say? It's you just look at it and shake your head and say, please, give me a break.
So, you know, it's one... I thought Hunter Biden was holding the record as the worst press interview this year.
Well, not really. He's second to Prince Andrew. You know, the interesting thing, I sent out a tweet, I don't know, maybe a week ago, and because of it, I was called to do Fox and Friends, and I was also
Yeah, that was a big Barney. Deal.
And I did Barney, Stuart Barney's show. And the interesting part of the tweet was I said, yes, in answer to your question, I don't have it in front of me, so I'll have to paraphrase it. Yes, in answer to your question, I have destroyed my career since I've come out as a conservative and supporting Trump. And it was my decision, but if I had to make it all over again, I would do it again. Now, in doing that, I led the left to believe that they had succeeded in destroying my career. That is the most seen tweet that I have ever put out in my history on Twitter. It went everywhere because I gave the left credit for destroying my career. And they're still barking at me.
I hear that.
That's Charlie.
I thought that was a Democrat that was still barking.
But he's kind of like, he's a terrorist. He's kind of like a Democrat.
Well, yeah, they would take great pleasure in thinking that they damaged you.
Yeah, so it just
they don't realize that it was a decision on your part, that it was you didn't care.
Well, no, it looked like they had crushed me, when in fact they haven't, but that's what it appeared to be. So this thing went crazy. I don't know how many retweets and likes that it had, but it had thousands upon thousands of them.
And I saw you on Stuart Barney, and it was like, I mean, Stuart's like, God, how can you be this age, man? I wish I had your energy.
Oh, well.
Stuart's a nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he's a great guy. He really is.
So I want to point something out to you here, Chuck. So Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Biden, these are the great leaders in diversity, right? These people are out to protect the blacks. They're big proponents of diversity.
Well, when you say diversity, explain exactly what the left means by diversity.
Well, the big tent. You know, we love the black people and the brown people and
the LGBTQ
and the alphabet people.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we're close to them and we live with them and we, you know, we're all part of the same community. Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Bernie Sanders' house in Burlington, Virginia, is in an area that is less than 5% black.
Well, they don't live with you.
Bernie's vacation home is in an area where it is 97% white and only 0.25% black. Elizabeth Warren lives in a $3.5 million Victorian home a few blocks from Harvard, where it is only 10% black, and half the population has a master's or a PhD. Bernie has a D.C. house that is $800,000. And then we have Joe Biden. He had a 1723 sprawling estate over 3 acres, formerly owned by the DuPonts.
Hmm.
And his current 4-acre spread in Greenville is in an area that is less than 5% black. The best one is Biden has another house. Now, keep in mind, Biden's never had a job but being a public official.
No, that's true. And
right?
And they keep talking. It's really interesting. I was watching MSNBC and CNN talking about Biden, how he's recovered from this failed campaign of his. And they don't mention Iowa. They don't mention New Hampshire. They're going straight to South Carolina because that's where most of the black vote is. And so they think that he's going to be saved in South Carolina. I don't understand why. I'm not African-American, so I can't really speak to that, obviously. But what do you see in Biden? I mean, why would people be for Biden? He hasn't done anything to help African Americans other than lip service. He hasn't done anything. They talk, but they don't have any action. Trump has now done more for the economy and more for black people than any president in the past. And yet they just pillar him and beat him up.
Well, Biden's all for black people. Let me give you this last.
Of course,
house.
People like Kanye West and others, Candace Owens, and they're coming out. Of course, they're being pillared by the
right,
left,
well,
too.
Uncle Tom's.
Yeah.
So Biden has a $3 million six-bedroom vacation home.
We're still in Biden's homes.
Hang on. This is his vacation home.
Well, I don't have one of those. Do you?
This
well,
yeah, you yeah I one. Do. Actually, I do have one. But he has a $3 million vacation home that includes six bedrooms, three fireplaces, and a shower for his dog.
Hey, he's a damn senator. How did he make this kind of money?
That's my question. But here's the best part. The entire city where his vacation home is has seven black people. Not 7%, really? Seven black people.
What city is that? What city is it?
It's called Rehoboth Beach.
Where?
The Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, well, the Atlantic Ocean runs the entire length of the United States.
It's in New England, it says.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy who's never had a job.
Doesn't it amaze you? I mean, everybody's talking about you got to investigate Trump. But Trump made all his money before he came to the presidency. I want to know how all these senators and congressmen make all their money while they're serving the American people. They're the ones that should be audited, don't you think? Well, am I getting a little too extreme?
Well, maybe there was some quid pro quo money that came out of Ukraine.
I mean, seriously, it's amazing.
I mean, Biden's never had any money.
Well, he certainly, obviously, do people buy this stuff for him? I mean, is it a gift? Is it a donation? Does it come out of his campaign coffers? I mean, he's got to have, if you got a $3 million property.
Vacation home.
Well, I said for a vacation, I mean, give me a break. You got to pay for it somehow.
Well, maybe his wife did it.
Well, maybe his son did it.
You think? So under the take a look at the Warren tax plan, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, several years back, you came up with the Amish tax plan.
Yes, I did.
And under the Amish tax plan, I went.
We
back
taxed everything.
We had the mustacheless beard tax, the triangular reflector tax,
right.
And we had the underarm hair tax.
Had that. Yeah. The Jebediah tax.
We had all of that because we were going to tax those stealthy little bearded bastards right back into the Stone Ages. Well, all of the taxes that you came up with were 138%. You thought 138% was comical.
Yes, I did.
Well, an analysis of Elizabeth Warren's billionaire tax shows that the combined tax rate for the wealthy under Elizabeth Warren will be 158%.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Not 138. She outdid you by 20 points.
They talk about millionaires and billionaires. Well, now it's billionaires. It used to be millionaires because nobody was a billionaire.
All millionaires.
Three people were, but all those millionaires have now graduated becoming billionaires. Only in America. And so now they're after them. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm comfortable. Okay. But here's the deal. Every time they attack the wealthy in this country, they're really just attacking them. They're not going to hurt them. They're not going to do anything to them. They're going to get you. It's the middle class they're after. And it always ends up being the middle class that ends up paying for it.
Well, there's what, 60 billionaires in America?
I don't know what the count is. Is that
it's
what
like,
it is?
It's like 60, 63, something like that.
So they're targeting 60 people.
Right, which is not the first time that the IRS has done that. Okay. With when they first came up with the income, what was it? The what is that called? As a way of indexing taxes. That was originally made to tax 125 people. Mm-hmm. But what happens is it ended up taxing millions of people.
Of course, it always does.
So we already have an example of this.
Right.
and you're going to go after the billionaires. But when it's all, when the dust is all settled, it's going to come down to all these, first off, all these billionaire taxes are really designed to be on people who have wealth of over $5 million.
Well, it'll sink down farther than that.
Well, I'm just talking about the
millionaire tax. I guarantee you, it'll always include the middle class because they don't really care. They don't really like the middle class. They keep talking about how they really want to get rid of the middle class because that's the only way socialism works.
Yeah, and you have to go after the middle class because
look at California. It's a perfect example of a socialist state. They're losing their middle class, and they want to. They want them out of there.
60 people can't pay to run the government.
Of course not.
You could confiscate 100% of their wealth, and it won't run the government. You have to go after the bulk of the people. You have to go after the majority of people.
That's where the real money is.
That's where the real money is. Now, just to put this in perspective, though, the top 1 or 2% of the country pay 40% of all the federal taxes. So the wealthy
I think that there's a situation here where GE and Amazon and people like that get away with paying very little taxes. And it's true, they do.
But it's true because it's the old figures don't lie but liars figure. So let me give you an example. So I have several companies, and most of our companies are what are called LLCs or subchapter S. Okay. Now, what that means is the income from those companies drops to my personal tax return. So you would look at my corporation and you say, well, he didn't pay a dollar in corporate taxes. No, because I paid the personal tax rate on all the money. Mm-hmm. So I still paid 39.8% on it. So when they say, well, GE paid no taxes, but when the money was passed to the people, either investors or board members or employees, they all had to pay tax on it. It was still taxed. What they're really saying is we want double tax. We want to tax this corporation, and then we want to tax what's left that goes to the people that own the corporation.
You know what I find very interesting, and I don't have the numbers on this, but it's true. I know that it's true. The more you cut taxes, the more money that seems to go, it didn't seem to go, the more money goes into the federal government.
Well, of course.
Well, I mean, but the Democrats would say, well, that just isn't true. Reagan did it. He cut taxes and more money went into the federal government.
It's called the Laffer curve.
Trump has done it. I know. But it's like it doesn't make sense to people. And it needs to make sense to people because cutting taxes is the best thing you can do for the American people. It makes government smaller and people bigger. And yet at the same time, more money goes into the government.
So here's an example of it. Cigarette taxes are a really good example of the Laffer curve. So if we look at the Laffer curve, and I'm holding my finger up, think of it as a curve that's going sideways. When we start here, the bottom, this is zero taxes. If we have zero taxes on cigarettes, then we will maximize the number of cigarettes that people buy. Now, the goal of government is to say, well, let's tax cigarettes so the people don't buy as many and we get money. So you start to add tax to cigarettes. And what you notice is as you go up the curve, fewer people buy cigarettes, but the tax increases. What the Laffer curve does is when you get to the tipping point, there becomes a point where you can add tax and the revenue will increase because of the tax increase. But there's this breaking point where when you hit it, people stop buying or people stop earning. And when you hit that inflection point, all of a sudden the taxes go down. Even though you add more tax to the cigarettes, no one's buying the cigarettes, so you don't get the tax. The same thing happens with income. When you cut income taxes, people take that new money and they put it back into the economy. So they buy things, they expand businesses, They hire more people. And that is where the more money comes from. So the more money doesn't come from, you cut my taxes 10%, but I'm going to send you more money.
We grow.
Right. The economy grows, and therefore more people are working, which means more people are paying taxes. Mm-hmm. And the reason, so right now, if you look at the federal government, the receipts for the federal government for 2018 and 2019 have exceeded expectations. The amount of money that was predicted to come in is greater than it was. So you hear the Democrats, well, the president was just cutting taxes for his rich billionaire friends.
Right.
Which, if anybody knows Trump, knows Trump's actually not a part of the billionaire class of elitist.
Not at all.
Those are really more Democrats.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the Jeff Bezos and the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates of the world, which he's not a part of that clique.
Right.
But the idea is he just did this for all of his rich friends. But they forget that. They don't bother to tell you. And gross receipts are up $400 billion. That's a lot of money.
It's a lie. They lie about everything. So they lie about that.
They do lie about everything.
Everything.
And it's so frustrating because we sit here, and I don't know about you, but I sometimes worry that, you know, people are going to think that I'm some kind of crank when I just sit here and say every word that comes out of their mouth is a lie. But it is.
I know. And by the way, I have never in my life uttered the words, get off of my lawn. Ever. I have never said that.
I believe there's a famous quote out there that's credited to you.
What saying, is
that? Get off my lawn. I believe that's the quote that's credited to you. Elizabeth Warren, Chuck, is Elizabeth Warren. She's got a plan for everything. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is, she says, I have a plan for that.
You know, I thought that she would probably be the nominee, but now I'm at the point where I'm not so sure she's going to be the nominee because basically the Democrats have called her out.
Well, I'll address that in a moment. But what I do want to point out is that she has a plan for everything. She's now out to save us from traffic violence.
Yeah, what was that? Cars hitting each other? And what was that all about?
She says, and she's using the hashtag end traffic violence. She's now saying that car crashes are acts of violence.
Oh, my Lord.
I would agree that a car crash could be violent.
Well, yeah, we've seen, you know, several, you know, Islamists use that as a...
But, I mean, just an accident could be violent in the way that cars hit. Mm-hmm. But based on what she's saying is we're all crashing into each other deliberately.
Yeah, we're playing dodge 'em.
But she has a plan for that.
What's that?
No one needs a vehicle that travels past 20 miles per hour.
Well, if you live in Southern California, that absolutely applies most of the time. Anyway, if you're on the freeway, you're lucky if you get up to 20 miles an hour on the 405. Or the 101.
They have concluded that at 20 miles an hour, people are not likely to kill each other.
I just keep thinking about Mecum Auto Auctions and Barrett Jackson and this love of fast cars and new cars coming out with 600 and 700 horsepower. I mean,
600 horsepower. Who would buy something like that? You need a lot more horsepower.
Well, the point is, who is she talking to?
I mean, I don't know who she's talking to. Last week, I went and test drove the new McLaren 720S.
Yeah.
That's violent. It's the only way I can describe it, Chuck. I got in that thing, was on some twisty roads, and buried the gas pedal. And I can only tell you the acceleration was literally violent. But it was like a bowling ball hit you in the chest.
Well, my point is the American people have a love of cars. We've always loved our cars. Ever since Henry Ford came up with the Model T. And the Democrats honestly believe they're going to take that culture away from us like they take every other culture away from us. And it's not going to happen.
Well, it's funny. I put out a tweet.
And we finally, by the way, not to interrupt, but to interrupt, we finally now are oil independent, gas independent, fossil fuel independent, and all of a sudden, this is not the right way to go. We need to go back and depend on the Middle East or whoever. It's just insane. We can't, we're not allowed to enjoy anything. I said something on a Stuart Varney show that the economy, this economy today, people should be dancing in the streets. It is so good and so good for so many people.
I am. Why do you think I was out test driving a McLaren 720? Well,
my point is the left will not allow you to do that. They won't allow you to enjoy your life. And I truly believe, I believe this in my heart. I sent this tweet out the other day that I think American conservative men and women are happier than Democrat men and women.
Oh, absolutely.
And the left men and women, because we're grateful. We're grateful for our country. We're grateful for the capitalism. We're grateful for the opportunity to rise above poverty and any other block in our way. We have the ability to do that, where no other country has the freedoms that we have. And so we're grateful for these things. And I learned that, by the way, back in the 90s from a guy named Dennis Prager, who was on ABC. And he mentioned this, and I have never forgotten it because it's absolutely true.
We don't live in a world where the world's coming to an end every day.
No.
I mean, imagine what it'd be like getting up every morning thinking, is this the end of the world? Is this the day the world ends?
And I guess they believe it.
I mean, 11 years.
Does DiCaprio get up and think, you know, the world's coming to an end. I'm getting on my jet. I'm going someplace.
Well, that's what I'd kind of do when I get up in the morning. It's like, well, screw it. Place is done in 11 years. I'm going to have a good time. So I put this tweet out where I said that an AR-15 is to an M-16 what a Hummer H-3 is, you know, to an actual military vehicle.
Now, there are a lot of people who are into guns and everything will understand what an M-16 and an AR-15 is. Let's assume that people don't understand the difference.
So an M-16 is a selective fire, means fully automatic.
It's a military weapon.
Military weapon. And
it looks exactly like an AR-15.
Which is just a varmint gun.
Right.
Which is no different than it's a .223. It's no different than a little hunting rifle, except it's got a pistol grip and a scope.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still on this Elizabeth Warren and her 20-mile-an-hour cars.
Oh, okay. We drift off into guns.
Well, I did, because I was kidding when I said, you know, that a Hummer H-3 is, you know, something that looks like a military vehicle, but it isn't.
Right.
She says, no one needs a Jeep. They were originally designed for war.
No one needs a Jeep?
A Jeep, because they're vehicles of war.
So that would be a Land Rover as well, and any other four-wheel drive vehicle?
Well, I think the French drove those. So I don't know if we can count the French.
Well, Land Rover's English.
But didn't the French drive those, or?
Well, everybody drove them for a while. I mean, you know, all over the world. And then Toyota came along with their own Land Rover and just put them out of business.
At any rate, now you can't have a Jeep because it's a vehicle of war. Have you seen anybody taking their Grand Cherokee into war?
And these people are nuts. I mean, come on. They're just nuts. And there are nutty people who believe them.
Are you serious? It's
and on top of that, I must say something. Just because the media takes the small and makes it big doesn't mean it's big. They always take the minority and make it look like the majority.
It's bizarre. By the way, Chuck, I want to thank people. There's been several people that have been going to bluntforcetruth.com, and they've been clicking on the Patreon button, and they've been supporting the podcast. And if you haven't done that, folks, thank you very much.
Me too. Thank you.
And what that really means, folks, if you haven't joined, is simply this. As Chuck said, you know, as he's been on TV here talking about the left is, you know, basically driven him out of game show hostdom. Well, they do the same thing with the podcast. When we have advertisers on here, they just vilify them and go after them. So one of the things that we've decided to do to try to pay the staff is to let the viewers help participate and support the staff. And you can do that by going to bluntforcetruth.com, click the Patreon button, and you can sign up as a supporter. I mean, whether you're, you know, paying just $1 a month, $5 a month, whatever you do is really appreciated. It helps pay the staff. And
absolutely.
Thank you for doing it.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
So, Chuck, Baltimore mayor. Now, I love this. The mayor of Baltimore's name is Jack Young.
Yes.
That was my father's name.
Being Mark Young. Oh, okay.
That was my dad's name. Now, and right. Now apparently you knew my father. Could you imagine my father as the mayor of any place?
No.
Well, apparently it sounds like he is actually the mayor of Baltimore.
Well, I mean, he was a delightful fellow.
No, I actually believe he is actually alive and he is the Baltimore mayor. And his name is Jack Young. And here's what Jack said. I don't even know how. You ready for this?
I don't know.
He said the city of Baltimore is approaching 300 homicides per year. And the mayor says, it's not a lack of leadership on my part. I'm not killing anybody.
He's not personally pulling the trigger.
I'm not committing the murders, and that's what people need to understand. I'm not committing the murders. The police commissioner's not committing it. The council's not committing it. So how can you fault leadership? You know, this has been 5 years of 300-plus murders. I don't see a lack of leadership.
Well, they wouldn't. I mean,
if you're the police commissioner, the mayor, and the city council of Baltimore, and people are being gunned down like ducks at a carnival.
Listen, since the police department serves at the pleasure of the mayor, it all falls on the mayor. They're either effective or they're not, period. And the mayor will determine how effective they are.
Okay, but Chuck, you're missing the point. The mayor didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, right. That's one of the things I love about Blue Bloods. I mean, here he is in New York City, being the police commissioner, and you really get up close and personal view of the stress between the mayor, the police department, the city council, all of those things. I mean, it's very, very, it's an interesting show, I think.
Well, in Baltimore, as long as the police commissioner doesn't murder anybody, he's successful.
Well, same in Chicago, I suppose.
Well, we know that Jack Young says that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And I can actually picture my father saying, I didn't kill anybody. It's not my problem.
I'm not touching that.
So, are you familiar with Ellie Goulding?
No, that does not ring a bell.
Exactly. She's a huge celebrity, isn't she?
No. Well, she may be, and I'm just not aware of her.
She's a singer.
Okay.
And I would say she's what you would call flavor of the month singer. Soon to be forgotten.
Okay.
Probably one of those careers that is like riding the crest of an undertow.
Like mine. Naturally stoned in the toilet.
She is refusing to sing at the Thanksgiving Day halftime performance.
She was invited to do that?
Yes.
Well, that would be an honor.
Well, she's not showing up.
Why?
For the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Because the Dallas Cowboys are supporting the Salvation Army Red Kettle program.
Oh, that's kind of like what Chick-fil-A supported, wasn't it? Didn't they support them and decided not to?
So
they've given in to the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, the Dallas Cowboys kick off the Red Kettle program on the Thanksgiving Day parade. They've been doing this since 1997.
What's your problem with Salvation Army's Red Kettle program?
Because they're anti-alphabet people.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And she has to defend the alphabet people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So unless the Salvation Army makes a donation to the alphabet people or the Dallas Cowboys drop their association to Salvation Army that they've had since 1997, she's not going to show up and sing.
This is how the left pushes back. They'll push back any way they possibly can.
And the alphabet people say they take pride in her defending them.
Of course they do.
Regardless of race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or gender identity, we're committing to serving everyone every day. But apparently the Salvation Army is an evil organization. By the way, if we're going to ban Jeeps and only have 20-mile-an-hour cars, mm-hmm. Should the Democrats be declaring AAA as a terrorist organization?
Probably.
Like they did the NRA?
Shouldn't be far behind. Shouldn't be far behind. You know, let's talk about something that went on in the past few days, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
Now, I understand he's out to work, isn't he?
Well, he had a tryout, correct?
Yes.
And the NFL was supposed to show up at this tryout, and they did.
Correct.
But just before they did, like a half an hour before they did, he changed the venue and went someplace else that they didn't know about, and so he tried out by himself.
Correct.
So my question is, does Colin Kaepernick really want to play football, or does he just want to just gripe about it?
Here's what I think. He's a mediocre player at best.
Well, he had one good season that we all recall with San Francisco, and then the others were not that good.
Right. So at this point in his career, he's a mediocre player.
Well, he hasn't had a career for about 3 years.
But, I mean, even when he was playing, his last year was mediocre.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a great player. I think he knows he's not a great player. And I think that he has found more celebrity.
And more money.
And probably more money being a victim than actually trying to be a victor on a football field.
But, I mean, how odd is that to have the entire NFL show up for your practice and then move it, unbeknownst to them, to a venue that you're by yourself basically throwing a football to some guy running down the field. And nobody's there to watch. And nobody's there to critique.
You never wanted to be hired. You never wanted it.
And then complain about it. I mean, it's just
because
even ESPN went after him on that. ESPN didn't go after anybody on the left.
He's a victim. He's a permanent victim.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chuck, I'm going to do something I don't normally do here, but I'm just so shocked by it that I'm going to do this.
Okay.
This is an email that was sent to you and I.
All right.
I'm not an American looking from outside the situation. He also types with an accent, some foreign accent.
Well, that should be interesting.
You are earthier delusional. I believe that is supposed to mean the word either. You are earthier delusional or completely ignorant. Mm-hmm. Everyone that speaks to defend this scumbag con man Trump is a Rush Limbaugh conspiracy idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You base everything on zero fact and childish name calling.
Mm-hmm.
Remove truth from your pages. There is none. The damage that has and will be caused to the U.S. and the world by supporting this feckless human being is unsurmountable. I believe that is like the word insurmountable. There is a very special place in hell for you, Chuck Woolery and Mark Young.
Well,
you hypocritical, lying, white supremacist, blasphemous evangelist. Goodness. You are sad excuses for humans. Now,
awesome.
Now, honestly, folks, this is the normal mail we get every day. Here's what makes this special. What makes this special is it was sent by an email server in Boeing. The Boeing Aircraft Company.
Oh.
From his company email with the company letterhead and the company signature on the email.
Yeah.
So we sent this to Boeing.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent this to Boeing and we said that do they support? Because here's the thing. Let me back up. As a guy who owns businesses, when an employee who works in my company sends any email from my company
on your letterhead,
they represent this company.
Sure. Yeah.
And they have the ability to bind this company into agreements, contracts, lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're responsible for every email that leaves this building. We sent this to Boeing and said, do you endorse your employees calling people white supremacists and burn in hell? We tweeted it to them. We emailed it to them. We even sent it to the president of Boeing.
Yeah.
Crickets.
No response at all.
Zero.
That's interesting. Well, maybe they do support him.
So that's all I can think of, is that this is how Boeing looks at America. And this guy is writing from Boeing Canada in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even sure why some crazy guy in Winnipeg is chasing us down in the U.S. But we sent it to Boeing Winnipeg. We sent it to Boeing headquarters in the U.S. Not a peep.
Well, they probably think it'll pass and go over, and which it probably will, and no one will say anything about it. We've said something about it on the air, but it may not go any farther than that. So, you know, the only way you push back with something like that, you sue or whatever. I don't know. It's everybody has their opinion, and those who disagree with us are vehement, obviously. And, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know. They don't like Trump. They don't like anything about him. So they don't like anybody that supports him.
Here's the thing. If someone on our staff sent an email like that,
well, you'd have to respond
on behalf of our company. And let's say that they sent that email to Adam Schiff.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody from here sent Adam Schiff an email on behalf of our company like that, we would not let it go unaddressed.
Well, it probably, if anything, should have gone, instead of the president of Boeing, to the PR department.
Sent it there.
Oh, you sent it to the PR department.
Absolutely. And tweeted it to them.
Well, maybe they don't care. You know, it may be the point that you and I are just not important enough, and that's the way it is, and that's how they see us, and maybe they're right. I don't know.
But the problem for me is it doesn't matter who you and I are. Mm-hmm. It matters that you allow employees to represent your company like this. It doesn't matter who they sent it to. Forget it's you and I. Mm-hmm. Send it to anybody. Open up the phone book and send out an email like this. You should be fired.
Well, I don't want to fire anybody for their opinion of me. I mean, some people love me. Some people hate me. It always has to do with my political stance, not with anything else. Had nothing to do with my career prior to knowing where I stood politically. So, you know, like I said, it was my choice. I made it, and I would do it again.
I just think it's ridiculous. What do you think of this thing with Chick-fil-A?
Disappointed. I think the pressure has been put on them. They weren't allowed to build in Austin. I know a city that's very close to me in the airport. They've effectively shut them down in many places. And so I guess they, for lack of a better word, caved.
Well, the FAA apparently has been looking into Chick-fil-A issues, because apparently San Antonio and Buffalo international airports have both.
I'm sorry, banned. Was it San Antonio? I thought it was Austin.
But yeah, San Antonio. They've both banned them from having restaurants in the airport because of their religious beliefs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So apparently what happened here, folks, if you're not up to it, is Chick-fil-A, under pressure from the Alphabet people, has announced that they will no longer fund Christian pro-family charities that offend the Alphabets.
You know, I got to tell you something. In all honesty, and I believe this may be a good point, that when these people donate to Christian things like Salvation Army, whatever it is, that they just don't talk about it. Just do it. Don't advertise it.
Well, they dig it up, though. I mean, like, look at the president of Home Depot. I mean, they've hunted down his private donations to Trump and tried to punish Home Depot for it, even though he wasn't even the president of Home Depot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's already retired as the president of Home Depot, and they
what you're saying is you can't do anything anonymously anymore.
It's very difficult to it's hard to make big donations. You can make some donations anonymously, but if you're a public corporation, they're not anonymous. And if you make political donations over $200, they're not anonymous. So a company like Chick-fil-A, their list of charitable contributions would be listed on their financials.
Mm-hmm. So well, you know, the pressure is enormous, and in order to stand up against it, you will suffer to a certain extent. I mean, I get it. I get it. You know, you understand what happens with me when I'm doing commercials for anybody. I get this incredible, I've been called everything you can think of. And, you know, you defend against it, but there are always those people who will believe it. There's all those people who will believe that there are millions of people saying it when in fact it's 10 guys in a basement somewhere. So it becomes very difficult to make a stand.
We had a guy write us an email. I don't know if you're interested in doing anything with this.
If I am? Okay.
This guy wrote us an email and he says, my name.
By the way, folks, all the emails go to Mark's office. I never see them, never hear them. In fact, this is new for me. I have no idea what he's talking about.
This is a guy who wrote and he said, this is serious. My name is Chuck Woolery.
Okay.
And I may be the polar political opposite of the game show host with my name.
With his name, huh?
And I also hope Trump would win, but for a far different reason than your Chuck Woolery did.
Mm-hmm.
This is, he says his roommate in college, his name was Jimi Hendrix.
Whatever.
You imagine you're in college and it's Chuck Woolery and Jimi Hendrix rooming together?
Perfect.
He said, when your Chuck Woolery became the second most desirable man in 1980, you were the second most desirable man in America.
I had no idea.
Guess who was number one?
I don't know.
Said you were the. He says that you became the second most desirable man in America behind Ronald Reagan in 1980.
I had no idea. I can't imagine. He must have made that up because nobody ever told me that.
I thought you were much more handsome than Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, right.
Said, little old lady I worked for thought it was me and was disappointed to find out that it was someone else who took my name. So anyways, he goes on. He wrote an entire book here. Even one where he's actually gotten free meals in Washington because a local radio station ran a contest for Celebrity Name Day.
Oh, people who are named like celebrities.
Right. So, yeah.
Chuck Woolery would be very unusual. I'm sure there are other Wooleries around, but it's kind of an unusual last name. There are not many.
Now, this is interesting. I didn't know this. He said a few years.
It depends on how old he is. I mean, is he older than I am? If he's not older than I am,
he's younger.
Well, I have seniority. Then,
well, he said he was in college in the 70s.
No, I'm older than he is. All so, right. You know, I've got seniority.
So he said a few years ago, I had written a letter to the editor that was printed in the Washington Times.
Uh-huh.
And he's in D.C.
Yes.
My letter was not friendly to the U.N. I was making the point about how ineffective it is at protecting human rights. Rachel Maddow thought it was your Chuck Woolery, flashed the headline from her desk and went on a rant. Chuck Woolery is now bashing the U.N.
I can bash the U.N. without her help.
Yeah, you don't need this guy's help.
Gosh.
But here's the best part. I made extensive efforts to contact MSNBC to tell them it was the wrong Chuck Woolery.
The wrong one, yeah.
And they refused to respond.
Well, it's kind of like Boeing, isn't it?
Well, in this particular case, even when MSNBC found out it was the wrong Chuck Woolery, it didn't fit the narrative because they wanted to beat up the Chuck Woolery that they wanted to beat up.
Well, there you go.
So anyways, at the end of this thing, I believe what this Chuck Woolery is asking for.
This other Chuck Woolery.
Is that he'd like to somehow be a guest on the show to compare notes of what it's like to live life as Chuck Woolery in the shadow
and yet
of
not
Chuck
being
Woolery.
Chuck Woolery.
And yet not be Chuck Woolery.
Well, I don't envy his position.
That's almost like being Jack Young, the mayor of Baltimore, isn't it?
Almost, kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, last item, Chuck, the two jailers who were supposed to watch Jeffrey Epstein have now been arrested.
You know, this is such an obviously weird thing that happened. That
a guy was murdered in jail?
Well,
that's weird.
Well, wait a minute, though. But let's look at the history of that jail. When was the last time someone was murdered in that jail?
Well, the last time anybody that disagree with the Clintons
47 years ago. No, for 47 years, no one has been murdered in that jail. 47 years.
Or committed supposed suicide?
Yeah. So all of a sudden the cameras are off, the people are asleep. I mean, everything is just way too convenient. And then I have people who say, well, we'll never know. Well, how do you know we'll never know? Maybe these guys know, and they'll say something.
Well, the two workers allegedly fell asleep.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Texas allergy, sorry.
Yes. So they fell asleep, and then they falsified the records to cover it up. Mm-hmm. And the cameras just happened to be broken that same night.
Well, I mean, really, everything just – and then on top of that, who's the doctor that came in and said there's
Dr.
no way.
Baden.
Yeah, Dr. Baden came in and said, look, this is – somebody killed this guy. He didn't commit suicide. And no, everybody goes, maybe. So it's – today we live in a time where proof and – nothing exonerates you. I said in a tweet this morning, the Democrats could come to the end of this whole thing and not have anything on Trump whatsoever. He's totally exonerated, totally innocent. And then the media and the Democrats would say, but, and then you start sowing the seeds of, you know, maybe there's something else.
Well, I listened to Pencil Neck Schiff give his opening statement.
I heard that this morning. I watched that before I did Stuart Varney Day.
And literally sat there saying, we've heard testimony of how the president leveraged millions of American dollars to advance his election. We've heard testimony of how he bribed the president of the Ukraine. There was no testimony for any
absolutely
of it.
None. None of it. No.
Zero testimony.
Yeah. Well, it didn't stop him.
And they just get up there and say, it's there. It's happening, folks.
Well, it's a typical Democrat one point of view. You don't get to express yours. The Republicans are completely cut out of this thing. And I wonder if the American people look at this and go, okay, this is what's going on. The Democrats have control. They won't let Republicans call any witnesses. They won't let them cross-examine. They've got rules where they can't do this and they can't do that. It's totally unfair. And I wonder if the American people look at this and say, okay, this is totally unfair. This has never happened before, and it hasn't. So, or do they just say, well, you know, it's okay with us?
Well, it depends where they're getting their news from.
True that.
You get your news from CNN and NBC, CBS, you think the president is
guilty before
Al Capone at this point. I mean, my goodness, can you imagine with CNN having all the contracts and all the foreign newses and the airports and everything? The rest of the world literally thinks we have a, you know, Gotti as president.
I'm a little sympathetic to people on the left who get their information from all these places because it's all they're fed. So you are what you're fed. You are what you eat. And if you eat that every day, then you're just going to throw it back up.
Oh, it's horrible.
Which is exactly what they say about people who watch Fox.
I know. And you and I both know Fox is anything but far right.
Oh, it's not far right at all. I mean, look, when you get to the opinion part during the evening, it's pretty far right.
But agreed. Sean Hannity is far right.
Yeah, but during the day it's not at all.
No, Brett Baer's not far right.
No.
By any means. Shep Smith was
far left.
Far left. Brett Baer's basically a never-Trumper. So, I mean...
Well, even Cavuto's kind of like a never-Trumper. I used to do his show all the time. Now I'm not welcome back, which is interesting.
I think I can help you figure that one out.
Go ahead.
Well, you were on his show and you opened with, I'm an Islamophobe and a kafir.
Well, I am an Islamophobe and I am a kafir. Just telling the truth.
But I think that got their attention right off. Like, holy crap.
Chuck Woolery's gone crazy.
We're going to call that fake Chuck Woolery and get him on here. He makes more sense.
On that note, we're going to wrap up today's Blunt Force Truth. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for contributing. We really appreciate that to keep us on the air. And you can pick us up at iTunes, Stitcher, at Podcast One. And we would appreciate any good reviews that you have. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, none of those burn in hell comments.
Yeah, no more burn in hell comments. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.